Well, like Naaman, that Bob just read about this morning, sometimes the obvious answer to our problem is right in front of our nose. But for whatever reason, sometimes it's our stubbornness, sometimes it's our preconceived notions, sometimes it's our doubt. We miss it, though the answer is right there in front of us. Yesterday afternoon I came home from the United Methodist Women's District meeting yesterday morning that we hosted here at the church, and I found Michelle sitting at the table with the printer open and the laptop sitting there, and she was looking very perplexed and exasperated, and I knew that she was going to be connecting a new printer to the laptop. And she just looked so frustrated. And you know, you learn over 26 years of marriage, that when to kind of intervene and when to back off. And thought, well, I'll just kind of go into the kitchen here and give me something to drink. But she continued to be exasperated. So I walked over and I said, well, you know, anything I can do to help? And she said, well, I've loaded this in here and the CD and it says it's loaded onto the laptop but it's not recognizing the printer. And I looked at things and I looked over to the printer and I saw the printer cord lying there. And I followed the printer cord to the table and I picked it up. Here, you got to be delicate with these things, right? And I said, Michelle, you might want to plug the printer in. She just dropped her face onto her hands. Who hasn't done that, right? But sometimes the answer is so obvious. It's right there in front of you, but we get sidetracked, we get distracted, or there's a million reasons why we won't see the answer that's right there in front of our nose. There's a principle in philosophy called Occam's razor, which simply states that the simplest solution is most always the best solution. So don't complicate things that don't need to be complicated when it's not necessary. In popular culture, we call this the KISS principle, right? Keep it simple, stupid. But when it comes to finding our answers to our spiritual longings, and we all have spiritual longings, there's all a need in us for a deeper meaning, to answer the question of what is it all about? Why am I here? What's important? What happens beyond the grave? All of those significant questions. When we have a longing to get an answer for those things, and people make it so complicated. We tend to complicate the answers to those questions. And people every year spend millions of dollars across the United States on New Age crystals to try to find some answer, or on some online spiritual course that, you know, just pay $29.95 and you'll have all the answers to the earth, to your world, and to your life. Or there's always that televangelist prayer cloth, right, that he's prayed over personally. If you just order that, you'll have all the answers in your life. But if you spend some time with the Scriptures, you find that the Scriptures teach us to keep it simple. It's not easy, but it says to keep it simple when it comes to our relationship with God and as we're seeking healing and meaning in our life. You know, we're all broken and we're all seeking healing and meaning, whether we know it or not. And if you search the Scriptures, it says to keep it simple. When the man came to healing for Jesus, Jesus didn't do some kind of fancy hocus pocus or tell him to purchase this or purchase that. He simply used his own spit and mud and placed it on the man's eyes, and he was able to see. Doesn't get any more simple than that. The psalmist in Psalm 116 says, "The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me." And then in 1 Kings, God says to Elijah, who we encountered today in our passage, he tells Elijah, he says, "Go forth." Elijah was waiting for a word from God, healing in his time of struggle. He said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by. And there was this great strong wind that shook the mountains. And then the Lord was not there. And there was a wind that blew and shook everything. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was even an earthquake that came and disturbed the whole ground around him. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, of course, we know God showed up in a still, small voice. But we make it so complicated. We look for magnificent signs. We look for loud noises, things to shake. We look for a definite sign for God. And no doubt God shows up in some powerful ways in the scriptures, doesn't he? Tongues of fire, a mighty rushing wind, smoke on the mountain. But if Jesus taught us anything in the scriptures, it's that we have to learn to respond and recognize the sweet simplicity of the voice of Jesus. Jesus says, My sheep know my name, my voice, and they follow me. And so it's in that quiet, steady walk with God in the garden, listening to his voice, that we're healed. So where do we begin that walk with God, that steady, committed journey with Jesus, the one who will heal us? Well, Jesus, in his simple but powerful way, and the scriptures say this in the Old and New Testament, it says, come to the waters. That's a symbol of the simple answer of the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, is to come to the waters. Come to the waters, Elijah says. The clear, cool water. That's where the healing began. Now, I can understand Naaman's confusion because, man, water's so simple, isn't it? It seems simple to Naaman that water would be too simple for healing, you know, because water is unremarkable, isn't it? I was just in a restaurant last night, and they, you know, what would you like? You know, we have Coke products, we have tea, and I said, just water. Just water. It's everything to us. It's simple, but it's so unremarkable. It's the simplest of substances, but yet water, it's kind of important in our life. And so I understand Naaman's confusion, because God is big, God is powerful, God is mystery. And Naaman wanted a demonstration of that power. But in the end, God is not unnecessarily complicated. God is, put simply, God is good. And God is love. It's really that simple. God is good. God is love. God is the most basic underlying power of the universe. God holds all things together. He holds your life together. He gives you breath. He's everywhere present. He is the foundation to your life. And without God, there is no life. And so our journey begins. And when we say that the journey begins in the water, it makes all the sense in the world. It's the simplest substance, but it's the most necessary. But man, we do make things more complicated than we should in our lives, especially when it comes to our relationship with God. That army commander Naaman and the powerful king of Aram, they assumed that God must be complicated like they were. That the social and political world in which they lived, God must be as complicated as the world they had created. Because in their world, money talks. And so Naaman, what did he do? He took money with him. He said, well, if I need it, I'll pay off the right guy and I'll get some spiritual healing. And people are doing that every day in this country, spending hundreds and thousands of dollars to find spiritual healing. And they also used their connections, right? Naaman knew the king of Aram, who knew the king of Israel, who knew the prophet Elijah, who knew God. It's good to have connections. Good to know people. So they were using their political connections as well. And so they exploit them. But you see, the simple gospel is this. You don't have to have a fortune. You don't have to have power. You don't have to have connections. In fact, Jesus says many times those things get in the way of our salvation, of finding healing in the world. Hosea the prophet in Hosea chapter 6 says, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. So God doesn't make it complicated. In fact, God keeps it simple. Jesus said, and when Jesus began his ministry, he said this, the kingdom of God is near. It's within your reach. You can have it. You can experience the healing and the power and the wholeness that comes with Jesus Christ. And then he says, just repent and believe. That was it. Just repent of your sins and just trust in God that he will save you and that he will deliver you. Elijah was teaching Naaman the same thing. Naaman said to Elijah, just come to the waters. Come to the waters and you'll find healing. But Naaman wanted a show. He wanted pyrotechnics. He wanted God to show up in a big way, and he got angry because he wanted glitz. He wanted boom. He wanted power. He wanted a show of might. And it says he even went away angry. Naaman said, look, it's simple. Elijah says to Naaman, it's simple. Just come to the waters. The Lord's waiting. But we make it so complicated. But fortunately, Naaman's servants had a talk with him, and they said, Naaman, you've tried everything else, man. Why not just humble yourself and just step into the water? See what happens. And so Naaman gets up and he walks into the water 7 times. The old muddy Jordan River, which is very unremarkable river if you've ever seen it. It almost looks like a big stream that would run through Kentucky. Or Indiana. I live in Indiana now, sorry. From Kentucky. Same thing. Naaman steps in. And he's healed. It was really that simple. Naaman looked like he had his whole life together. He was a valiant commander of one of the strongest armies in the Middle East. But he had this problem. He had leprosy. On the outside, we often look like, and we put this face forward with that we have it all together, that everything's just perfect. But inside there's something gnawing at us. It might be something we've done or something we've said to hurt someone, and we've done it over and over and over again in our life. Maybe it's because we've been pushing God back. We know that there's something greater, something bigger, something more powerful, someone who created this world and who breathes life into us. But there's just doubt, and there's indecision. There's unbelief. We sense that we need it, but we're not ready because we're not for sure how to get it. We're not for sure that we're good enough. We're not for sure that we've done all the right things and taken all the right steps. Listen to the words of Jesus and to the prophet Elijah when they say, just come to the waters. It's that simple. Because the power to save you doesn't rest upon you. The power to save you rests upon the one who created the world and who created you. That is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And He desires to live in you. He desires to change you. He desires to cleanse you with the living water that flowed over Naaman, that flowed over so many, that has flowed over you who have come into Christ and who has cleansed you and has brought you into a new life. And it's really that simple. We're just called to come to the waters. There's healing in those waters. There's healing in the name of Jesus. You don't need any deeper theology than that to be saved. When you repent of your sins and you believe in the good news of Jesus Christ, it's like walking into clear, cool water and having the simple but the powerful element of water sprinkled over you or immersed into those waters is a sign that you have been cleansed. And so as Jason walks out of this sanctuary today, he walks as a man who has been cleansed in the very simple way by a God who loves him. And you who know Christ have experienced that same love. If you have never experienced the love of Christ, if you've never experienced the power of God living in you, it's simple. Repent of your sins, believe in Christ, and come to the waters. And you will be saved. Let's pray together. Father, how good it is to be in your presence. How good it is to be among your people. We make it more complicated than it is. We put up walls. We put up barriers. We push you away. We deny that we could ever come into your presence. But we know that your Son Jesus wraps himself around us. He puts a robe of righteousness around us so that you don't see our sinfulness. What you see is the glory of Christ expressed through us and in us. So, Father, may we come to the waters this morning. And may we believe. And may we trust. And know that you are God. And we pray these things in Christ's holy and powerful name. Amen.